All right, take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 10. And we're going to look today at verse 34 down through verse 43. Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 34 down through verse 43. Our subject today, the reality of a pardon from God. Listen to God's word. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Our subject today, the reality of a pardon from God. Today, for a few moments, we shall look at the foundation truth of the happiness of the believer, which is the reality of a pardon from God. This pardon cannot be earned, merited, bought, or inherited in any way. It comes by grace, and grace alone, through the person and merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God's pardon is only revealed to those to whom it is granted. Nothing else will suffice. And the vast majority of our people today do not know what it means to have a pardon from the Lord God of heaven. Let me stop and ask you a question right now, if I may. Do you know what it means to be pardoned by the Lord? My friend, you don't, if you've never stood before God as a guilty sinner. And in our lesson today, we're going to look at three things if we have the time. First of all, the meaning of the term pardon. Secondly, the matter of necessity for a pardon. And then thirdly, the many ramifications of God's pardon. If you don't know what it means to be pardoned from God, we urge you to listen to this for eternity, because your soul is at stake. Don't touch that dial now. You listen and be quiet there around your radio. It'll do you good to pay attention. Let's look at the word pardon for just a moment. We're going to give you three meanings. The first one from Mr. Webster out of his dictionary, the second one from the original language in the New Testament, and the third one from the original language in the Old Testament. Though Mr. Webster says that a pardon is this: it means to absolve from the penalty for a fault or crime. It means to remit the penalty or to forgive. Now get that. It means to absolve from the penalty for a fault or crime, to remit the penalty, or to forgive. This is one meaning. The second meaning is found in the New Testament. It means, the word pardon means to release as from bondage or imprisonment. It means forgiveness, pardon of sins, letting them go as if they had never been committed. The word pardon means a remission of their penalty, and it is found in the following passages of Scripture. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, Mark chapter 1, verse 4, Luke chapter 1, verse 77, and Luke 24, verse 47. And we find also in Luke 3 and verse 3, and then in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Acts 10 for verse 43, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, and Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 18. Now, we talk about pardon or remission. They mean one and the same thing. Now, notice, It means, again, it's a remission of their penalty. And that word remission is found in verse 43 of our text, where we read, "To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Now, the third meaning is found in the original language in the Old Testament. And the word pardon there means to cover. It means to make atonement, to be reconciled. It means to lift up, to bear, to take away sin and guilt. It means to forgive. And when it's used in forgiveness, it is used only of God when offended. It means to delight in, to receive graciously, to satisfy or be satisfied as one to whom expiation has been made. Now, this is the meaning of the word pardon. You see, it goes a lot deeper than a lot of people think. And we find that before you can be pardoned, you have to stand before God as a guilty, lost sinner. Have you ever been there, my friend? Listen, only those whom God awakens and brings unto himself are those who receive a pardon. And in order to receive a pardon, it comes, remember, very clearly, it comes through the person and merits of the Lord Jesus Christ and no other way. Now let's look at the necessity for a pardon, or the matter of a necessity for a pardon, for just a moment. We find there are several reasons why man has to be pardoned, but the biggest reason is simply this, that man is a sinner. Now, people today don't know what it means to be a sinner. And I'm going to give you a truth here now, and I want you to listen like you never listened before. You're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you are a sinner. No individual has to be taught to sin. It comes naturally. It comes by birth. It's an inheritance that we have been given ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. And in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, we read, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The book of Romans again brings it out in Romans 3:23, where it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20, we find, "There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." And in Psalm 58, our Lord tells us very clearly that the wicked go astray as soon as they be born. We find they are sinners because what happens to them? The wicked go astray, or the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Oh, my radio friend today, if you don't know what it means to be a sinner, then put it down. You don't know what it means either to have a pardon from the Lord God of heaven. Now, the necessity of a pardon is this. Sin is a transgression of God's law. Now, people today jump up and down and they say, "Oh, the law of God isn't necessary any longer." Isn't it really now? The Word of God brings out a vastly different category, because we find in 1 John chapter 3, and we see in verse 4, the Word of God brings this out for our learning. Listen to what it says. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law." And my radio friend today, I want to say to you very clearly that when you sin, you transgress God's law. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17, we read again, "All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin that is not unto death." Now, people jump up and down. They say, "Well, Pastor, I have kept part of the law. It doesn't do a bit of good." We find the Scripture says very clearly, "Cursed is he that continueth not in all points of the law to do them." And then in James chapter 2 and verse 10, we read again, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Now, the matter of a necessity for a pardon is this. Sin is a transgression of God's law. Sin also is a walking on forbidden ground for which man must suffer unless he is forgiven. Sin is a transgression of God's law. Sin is walking on forbidden ground for which man must suffer unless he is forgiven. Then, sin is also a rebellion. Sin is an act of hostility against the Lord. It's the strengthening of man against the Lord God of heaven. And people today have no fear of God in their hearts. They have no fear of God in their soul. There's very little, if any, fear of God in our churches. There's no fear of God in our seminaries or universities. And as a consequence, people today have relegated God to an individual who's not able to do anything unless man allow him to do so. My friend, listen carefully. Sin is a transgression of God's law. God's law is a holy law. And when an individual sins, and we all have, we walk on forbidden ground for which man must suffer unless we are forgiven. And then sin is a rebellion. It's an act of hostility against the Lord. And the scripture brings it out where it says very clearly that the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Here is one of many reasons why there has to be a necessity for a pardon. Man is a sinner. He's a sinner inside out and outside in. He's a sinner from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. His whole heart is sick, and we find his whole body is found in rebellion against the Lord God of heaven. Because sin is also a contempt of God's authority. People today have risen up, and many of you listening to me at this hour, you have risen up in your voices and in your hearts, and you have said, I will not have the Lord God of heaven rule over me. And you won't, unless the Lord God of heaven break you down at his feet. And if you don't ever have God rule over you, rest assured of one thing, you're in contempt of God's authority and going to pay for it someday. Now, all sin has to be forgiven. This includes original sin. It includes all sin. It includes all backsliding. It includes open and secret sins. It includes all apostasies. It includes all sins of omission and commission. And this is the reason there has to be a pardon. Many of you out there, you have sins that are like skeletons in your closet. Nobody knows about it but you and God. Rest assured of one thing, my friend, that sin has to be forgiven through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, or else it never will be, and you'll pay for it for all eternity. Here is the reason there has to be a pardon from God. This is the matter of the necessity for a pardon from the Lord. The third thing is this. Man is unable to work out a pardon from God. Many of you become religious, but when you read God's words, you will find out that religion does not save. Many of you have been baptized. Baptism does not save, even though some are writing me every week, as it were, and telling me that we ought to be baptized in order to be saved. My friend, you can be baptized a billion times and still die and go to hell, because not one drop of water can wash away one solitary sin. Remember, it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses from all sin, and there is nothing else that cleanses. Now, many of you are religious, but it doesn't make a bit of difference. You have to have a pardon from the Lord God of heaven. Remember, your sin must be forgiven. It includes original sin, that which you're born in. It includes all actual sin. It includes all backsliding. It includes open and secret sins and all apostasies and all sin of commission and omission before God. This is a necessity of a pardon from the Lord. Now, let's look again. We find that there are many ramifications to God's pardon. Now, what does it mean? When God pardons a sinner, we find it's a lifting up of sin and taking it away. In Psalm chapter 32 and verse 1, the scripture brings this out in a beautiful manner where it says these marvelous words. Listen to it. Psalm chapter 32 and verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Sin lies upon the sinner and lays him under obligation to punishment unless that sin has been taken off from him. And beloved, this is a reality that every individual needs to know. When our Lord Jesus died, he died as a sinner. He died in our place, and he took our sin, and it was laid upon him, and our Lord Jesus became legally guilty for all our sin. This is one of the ramifications of God's pardon. Our sin is taken away. Sin also is like the burden of the awakened conscience and like the filthy garments which must be taken away. The second thing about sin is this. There's the covering of sin from the sight of God. Again, may I go back to our text in Psalm chapter 32, if you will, and look with me at verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and is in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, this covering of sin is got to, in other words, this covering means that sin has to be covered from the sight of God. And our Lord Jesus, in the New Testament, is the antitype of the mercy seat which covered the law. Secondly, we find, or thirdly, I should say, sin also means to be blotted out. And when God pardons us, our sins are blotted out. Oh, what a wonderful reality that is. Turn quickly, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 43. And we find in Isaiah chapter 43, the Word of God brings this out in a beautiful manner in verse 25, where it says these words, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sin. These are few of the ramifications of a pardon. And my radio friend, the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord God of heaven to give you a pardon. Now you stop right here and ask yourself this question. Has God ever given you a pardon? You see, when our Lord takes away our sin, he does something else. He gives us a robe of righteousness. In Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10, we read, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Now you either have a robe of righteousness, or you have a robe of sin in which you are clothed. Only the robe of righteousness given to us by and through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, only that, and that alone, is sufficient to make us acceptable unto God. You see, it isn't a question of you accepting the Lord. It's a question of the Lord God of heaven accepting you. And the only way he will is when you will stand clothed in the robe of righteousness given to you when the Lord Jesus Christ reaches in and saves you. Now, the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord God of heaven to pardon you. But in order to do so, you first of all must know what it means to be a sinner. Oh, my friend, if you don't know what it means to be a sinner, my hope is that God will open your heart, make you to know that even at this hour, and then bring you to a knowledge of Christ. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.
Thank you for joining us this week for this edition of The Mercies of God. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing in your life, and that you take Pastor Peter Nortier's very practical preaching to heart and put it to work in your life in your home, in your workplace, and in your world. These messages may have been preached many years ago, but there is a generation that has not been blessed with these messages from Pastor Peter Nordier. If you've been blessed by this message and you would like to help share this message with others, would you prayerfully consider partnering with this ministry as the Spirit of God leads? Please write us at The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. That address once again, The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. Your gifts of financial support to this ministry are greatly appreciated and will be invested in the kingdom of God. Until next week, please remember to pray daily, seek the face of the Father, and to always ask for the mercies of God.